Praise the Lord. We're going to continue our fellowship on participating in the Lord's move. Amen. Hallelujah for the Lord's move. Amen. But the Lord needs us to participate. Without us, in a sense, the Lord has no move, right? But it is still the Lord's move. Amen. Amen. And so if you go to page 53, you see the outline we'll be going over today. So far, we've had two wonderful sessions concerning the Lord's move, especially concerning the gospel, our need to match God, right, and his love for man, and to go to preach the gospel. And yesterday, we saw that the way we go is what? By the twos and threes, right? We need to be companionized, right? And today, we're going to actually continue a similar principle, but actually this is maybe something a little bigger than just two or three companions, but on every campus we need a nucleus of students. So let's read the title, A Blended Student Nucleus. A Blended Student Nucleus Taking the Lead on Campus. Sisters.
A Blended Student Nucleus Taking the Lead on Campus.
And brothers. A Blended Student Nucleus Taking the Lead on Campus. Amen. Good. And actually, we're just going to skip to the end just to read the focus, because this will keep us focused, right? As we go through the different points in our sharing, Brother Ken and I will share a little bit, and then some students are going to give some testimonies related to this. But let's keep this focus shining within us. Let's read this all together with our spirits. The students must be blended together through prayer and fellowship to become a nucleus, taking the lead on their campus in a close coordination with the church. Good. Isn't this a wonderful word, nucleus? Actually, you may not realize this. You might say, where does the Bible talk about a nucleus? Well, actually, if you have the right view, you'll see that the whole New Testament is actually just a nucleus, in a sense, right? It's actually just a vital group. The Lord, when he, in the Gospels, he became a man. He had to become a man in order to redeem us. But actually, in the last 3.5 years of his life, one of the main things he was doing, you have to consider, and this is mostly what's in the Gospels, what was he mainly doing? Actually, mainly, he was gaining a little nucleus, members of a nucleus. He went to, where did he go to gain his nucleus? He went to USG. The University of the Sea of Galilee. And he gained young people there to be the material to form a nucleus, to see the Gospels in a different light in terms of how the Lord worked. This is how the Lord works. So he went to there. He gained some young ones. And the whole rest of the Gospels, on the one hand, the Lord is doing many things. He's speaking. He's doing some healing. He's ministering. But actually, over and over and over again, he's just with these 12. Or even sometimes just with two or three of them, right? Sometimes just one of them, but he's dealing with them. He's training them. He's ministering them. He's preparing them. Okay? He did a lot of work with them. So eventually, at the end of the 3.5 years, he went to the cross, right? And actually, he redeemed them. He redeemed all of us, right? But actually, he redeemed them. And we just heard, he not only redeemed them, but he also crucified them. Hallelujah. I am crucified with Christ. Amen. We need to come to an end, right? Actually, who we are in ourselves is good for nothing but death and burial. Amen. So the Lord put us to death and he buried us. But he didn't leave us there. Actually, he also resurrected, right? In his resurrection, we were born again. And actually, you could say, and then in the very night of his resurrection, what did he do? He went back to that nucleus that he had formed, right? And he breathed into them. Hallelujah, they received a new life. Actually, that was the life of the nucleus. Before, there was maybe just some material, but the life came in at that point. Praise the Lord for the nucleus. And actually, this is amazing. That's the end of the Gospels. What's the next book? Acts, right? The book of Acts. What does the book of Acts start with? You don't know what the book of Acts starts with? Starts with that same nucleus, right? It's the same with those 12. And actually, the Lord had left them. He had ascended, right? Now he's ascended, and he told them to wait till they receive power from on high. And so what did they do? They prayed. That's right. This nucleus, they went to an upper room, and they prayed. And they prayed. A nucleus needs to pray. Actually, we're blended together in this prayer. The life that we've received, actually, it blends us into one. Actually, it's another picture in the Old Testament, a loaf, right? We become one loaf through the prayer and through this blending. And after how many days of prayer, how many days did they pray? Until the Spirit was poured out on them. 10 days. They were praying with one accord. Okay, so we need to see. Actually, once they had prayed and been brought into one accord through their prayer, then we have Acts chapter 2. And that is where the Spirit is poured out upon them, right? And then all that's what began that whole book called the book of Acts, right? It was the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Lord through the Apostles. But actually, he did this all through a nucleus. And they did everything in the same principle of praying together, being blent together, standing as the Lord's body on earth, moving as the Lord's body. And this is the same principle that we all need to pick up. Okay, so I just wanted to give a quick kind of introduction to that. So let's read Roman numeral 1. The only way to have a dynamic, powerful, and prevailing gospel work on any college campus is to have a nucleus of students that can take up the leadership on that campus. Very good. Actually, those who have it, I think this verse is really good, is Daniel 11:32. And we're going to skip the first part. Actually, the first part refers to the Antichrist. Like Marty mentioned last night, he speaks with smooth words, right? So, actually, even the context of our labor actually is related to the Lord's coming, right? We're not just doing this to do this, but actually we need to carry out the gospel of the kingdom in order to bring our Lord back. We need to gain material for the body to be his bride so that he'll come back. So all of our labor on the campus, actually, it's for the Lord's coming. So, and this is a verse for all of us, the second half, starting with but. But the people who know their God will show strength and take action. But the people who know their God will show strength and take action. Hallelujah, saints, let's know our God. Let's show strength. Not our own natural strength, but the strength of the life that's in us. Amen. The strength, especially, that comes as we pray together as a vital group. Amen. Saints, there's dynamic power in the nucleus. That's what that Roman numeral 1 said, right? Is it possible to have a dynamic work on your campus? A powerful and prevailing work? Where is that power? It's in the nucleus. It's the Lord's power, right? It's the same power that he poured out on those disciples, right? The same power is with you, saints. We need to know this in the proper way, and we need to move with the Lord according to that power. So let's read point A. The saints who attend a given school or college should first come together, fellowship, and fan one another's spirits into flame. Hallelujah. Fan one another's spirits into flame. So what we're talking about here is you who are on the college campuses, out of the whole church, in whatever churches we are in, who is the one that can reach the ones on the college campus? It is the students, right? If you're a student, then you have to say, it's us, right? Actually, that's why we as students need to take this burden. It's ours to take. If we don't take it, how are the other saints going to have any outreach on that campus? Any effectiveness on the campus? It'd be very hard. Very difficult. But with the students, like that we've shared already, it's so easy. Okay, well, so then if it's for the students to carry out this work, what is the way? Well, first of all, those who are burdened need to come together and pray. Actually, we come together regularly, even at least once a week. That's the next point. We need to come together. You and the ones on your campus who are burdened for that campus need to come together and pray for your campus. Maybe in a general way, but also, you're all on the campus and you're meeting people, aren't you? We should be. Actually, another point here, it says all of us in the nucleus, you're like a little fishing boat, your nucleus, and each one of you in that nucleus is like a little hook. And each one of you should have some, you know, that you're contacting. In fact, I believe the Lord gives you some, right? Maybe just one. Maybe just one from one class for some reason likes to talk to you. And maybe eventually even opens up a little bit to you. What is that? That's the Lord's arrangement. And that's what that kind of opening, you need to bring that to your nucleus. And fellowship, right? That's what it says. We need to have thorough fellowship with the ones in our nucleus. Brothers, sisters, I have this one who's opening to me. I don't know what to say, right? I don't know what to do. Can we pray for that one? Wow. The Lord would be so happy, right? He will move through that prayer. And he will move in that one, and he will also move within you as a nucleus how to take the next step. And then you might go and you might take one step and you might come back to your nucleus the next week and you pray again. And then you go again. And then you pray again. And then you go again. And you pray again. You actually, eventually, the Lord will gain that one. And the Lord actually, he wants to not only, this person got saved. Praise the Lord, they need to get saved. But what else needs to happen? We're not only in the business of saving people just so that they are saved from eternal perdition, but the Lord needs his purpose to be carried out. He wants to come, right? And that means that that one needs to be gained as material, right, for the building up of the body of Christ. The Lord's view is not just to, you know, merely save them from eternal perdition. He wants to save them all the way into his kingdom, into the church life, into your nucleus. Actually, they receive the same life you're enjoying, and eventually they do the same thing you're doing. Because we're all operating according to the same life, right? So, well, let's see. I'm going to skip down here to point B. Let's read this together. In taking on any activity, those on the campus should do so as a group in a coordinated way. They should never act or move individually. Amen. So we need to learn to do things as a group, not individually, right? I really appreciated this last message, the brother sharing about when we come together, we need to learn our spirits. We need to be blended with one another in our fellowship. Sometimes, frequently, the blending exposes us, right? Because we're learning to discern our spirit from our soul. So this is my experience. I'm still learning, still making mistakes many times, coming back to the Lord, being washed. Sometimes those texts, I'm sorry, you know. Someone fellowshipped, I didn't like the way they received my fellowship, right? But if I just take my way, then I take my way, and we lose the nucleus way, right? We lose the oneness, and the Lord isn't able to bless anything. So we always need to take the body, right? This is the body of Christ. Amen. We need to know the body, do everything according to the principle of the body, and that is to remain in oneness, right? And actually, the Lord, the life in us, will work that out. You can't even work out the oneness, even though you know you're supposed to be one with the brother. But then as you touch the Lord, and you, like Jefferson said, maybe it took him a few days, right? But eventually, the Lord just flowed out in a text message back to his roommates, right? And I had the same experience as last week. I totally did something wrong. I offended a member of my family, but I felt like I was justified in what I did. But the Lord worked, and the Lord worked, and the Lord shined, and the Lord not only shined to expose, but he supplied me with himself. little by little, and eventually I was able to text, you know, them back, and now the relationship is fully restored. Praise the Lord. He's able. He's able to keep us knit together in love. So we need to learn to do everything always with the body, with the members of our nucleus in a coordinated way. So we do this. We should always pray together. What's the primary matter that we should attend to with our group? Prayers. What does primary mean? The first thing. Maybe you could, let's continue using that word, the indispensable thing. Yeah, we need to pray together, saints, in order to maintain the oneness and to carry out the work in the oneness. We should always fellowship with one another, and we should always make decisions as a nucleus. So I'm gonna stop here. We actually have some students. Many of you, we've spoken, I think, maybe even used this outline before in a college training. So I hope many of you have even touched some of these points and experienced them. I believe, and I know many of you have. So, but we do have a few that are going to come up and share now. And then Brother Ken will conclude.
Hi, my name is Alfred. I will be a senior in the fall.
Hi, I'm Matt. I'm going to be a junior, and I go here.
I'm Hannah, and I'm going to be a junior also.
I'm Nikki. I'm going to be a junior here as well.
So here at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, we're fortunate to have a pretty healthy campus work where we have a pretty solid group of students, families, and full-timers. All of our families here, they open their homes for the students to come to do whatever we want to do, whether it's for meetings or just to hang out, have dinner. And then we have a pretty well-staffed full-time team, so to speak. And we most importantly, we have students who care about the Lord's work. And this burden that the students have for this care came from just their regular growth in the Christian life and the leading of this ministry, really. And as Dion said earlier, if you don't have students who care, then it's really hard for our campus work to be successful, effective. And I realize not all the campuses are in the same situation, but maybe if we share a little bit of what we do, it could be of some encouragement for your situation. So here in Champaign, aside from all the regular meetings we have, or Bible studies we have on campus or in the homes with students, we have a core group of students, the nucleus, who we get together on Saturday evenings to pray. And this time, I actually really like what it says in Roman numeral 1, letter A. We come together, fellowship, and fan one another's spirits into flame. We never really made this. We didn't consciously think about doing this. This is just how we ended up getting together, which was really healthy, because we come together and we just enjoy the Lord first. We turn to our spirit, and we fan our spirit into flame. And as we just spend time in prayer, singing, fellowship, burdens for other students will come up in our hearts spontaneously. Or in some cases, the Lord will just arrange a situation where seeking ones will come to us. And so we'll then just start praying for these ones regularly, every week, or as much as we can, as much as we remember to, as much as the Lord touches us to. And we've actually seen some really good results, because the prayers will usually just start out that this new one would meet with us a little bit more. We would have more regular contact, whether through just appointments, we get together for lunch, or that they would come to a meeting, perhaps a college meeting. But then you'll see that we used to have a prayer journal. I don't know why we stopped using the spreadsheet, but you'll see progress, where eventually this new one will come to meetings regularly, and then eventually this new one gets baptized, and then this new one starts to prophesy in the prophesying meeting. So these results do happen over the span of a year or more, maybe. it's slow, but we just pray consistently, and then we do see results. And as far as bringing students into the nucleus, bringing new ones into the nucleus, we also have very good results, because these two sisters here, we met them when they were freshmen, and in fact, Hannah, like, on our second meeting with her, she's a brand new one, and she started speaking God's eternal economy to us. So that was pretty cool. And then eventually, they both, you know, entered fully into the church life and are very active in the nucleus. So yeah.
Amen. Amen. I just really wanted to share some of my experiences. During this prayer time that we have with the students on Saturday night. The student corps is just absolutely so encouraging. You know, sometimes I'll come to the prayer meeting, you know, it's Saturday, so after a week of school, it's so easy just to be, you know, dead, tired. It's like, oh, let's just get this over with. But, you know, as you see, you know, all these students just praying in such a strong way, you know, they're about the same age as you. They're just going on in such a strong way. It's so encouraging. And this is really, you know, the fanning of each other's spirits into flame. Man, and I just wanted to add a little side note on prayer, because over this past semester, at least, I realized the enemy fights so hard against our prayer. All these little things will come in, you know, all these thoughts, you know, but, you know, we just tell the Lord, Lord, by my small little prayers, I am saying that I cooperate with you. I am aligning my will with you, and I agree with your work on this campus. So we just pray a little bit more, and eventually, you know, by the end of it, we enter into the burden of what the Lord is doing. Amen. And I just found this so encouraging. And then also, you know, I really stand with Jefferson's word on taking the cross, because I live with some of these brothers. And when you live with the brothers, that's where the real breaking down happens. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, something will come between you and your brother, and, you know, that just really frustrates your prayer. Like, as one of them is praying, he's like, don't you remember what you did to me? How can you pray that? And so, really, it's just, oh, Lord, it's just been, you know, a learning process. We really need to learn each other's spirits and forget about ourselves when we come to these prayer meetings. And I also really enjoy that, as mentioned before, you know, our praying, you know, does many different things. First, it builds us up, right? It blends us together. You know, maybe you didn't care so much for a brother or sister before, but after praying for them, you know, I was like, you know, oh, Lord. Sometimes we pray for, you know, each other, and, you know, sometimes tests, right? And in myself, I'm just like, you are the last person who needs prayer on this test. You are okay. But, you know, as you pray, you just, you know, wow, you know, how was it? How's it going? And all that. You just start realizing, you know, you start caring for them. And then our prayer also fights the enemy. Yeah. You know, there's a saying among the brothers' house, hey, you going to fight night? And by fight night, they mean the prayer meeting. Yeah. And also, I think prayer is really the best way just to gain a burden, you know, gain a burden for each other's burdens, right? You know, our heart, you know, may not be caring so much for man, but as we pray for them, we really enter into the burden, and we also start caring for them. And, you know, when we come paths with them, you know, we're just able to minister something of life. And so as we're in the prayer meeting, you get a real and genuine sense that this right here is accomplishing the Lord's economy. Amen. This is the Lord's economy in a practical way.
Actually, this year, I was so consumed by something else, other things, that I just kind of wandered away from all the students. But in the summer, I was just really blessed that my companion and my roommate is doing the church internship. So that was a great opportunity for me to just come back to the Lord, come back to the saints. And this summer, I realized that our individual joy and pursuit, and our corporate joy and pursuit, and the joy of fruit bearing, all go together. They can't be separated. This summer we've been tabling at our table on our campus, and we met some newer ones. So in meeting with them when we, Lord Jesus, amen. So in order to shepherd them, we prayed with the families, with the older saints, and also with each one another. And in shepherding them, I realized that my Christ is so short that I need to actually take time to get into the Word. So, and also I remember the first day when the brother asked, how many people have you brought into the church life or preached the gospel to? I couldn't really answer that question because every time I preached the gospel, there was always someone else there with me. So it's always a corporate work. It's never an individual thing. Amen.
Right. I want to echo the words that my brothers and sisters have been sharing. This is not an individual work, both in our prayers and even going out in an outward sense. I was never alone. So during the prayers throughout the school year, like, it was so hard to get myself there. I would even need to like ask another sister, okay, are you going? Okay, I'm going to go with you because otherwise I'm not going on my own. And to go there and to just sing, enjoy the Lord, come back to loving the Lord, like you sense the burden that the Lord has. And when you start praying out, even if you didn't have the burden before, like all these other students together are praying out the Lord's burden, the Lord's move, and you can really sense, like Matt has shared, the Lord is really moving on this campus. And then in the practical sense, I'm just thinking to the experiences with some younger sisters. We had prayed for them throughout the school year, and they went from unbelievers to coming into the nucleus. So hallelujah. But that all comes through prayer. even shepherding them in a practical way, you know, I couldn't just speak to them alone. Like, I would talk to serving ones. I would talk to the community saints on how to shepherd them, how to speak to them. And even with them, you know, we would pray together. So, yes, amen.
The students as a category of people, we don't act independently either of the rest of the body. If you consider like, students, families, and the full-timers, we're really just three strands of a single cord. So we work together, and what we do, like, practically is sometimes the full-timers, there will usually be full-timers at our prayer times too, one or two, and usually it's like Josh Huang, who is a grad student but also serving full-time, and or like Grace and Troy, and the younger serving ones will join us. And so they know what's going on. And in fact, they're very much involved with the club. And then, you know, we have dinner regularly with the families in their homes. And we just talk to them normally, just have conversation. And we talk to them about what's going on in the club, in school, in our lives. So they're also very involved with our lives. And then they also help us with a lot of activities. And then we have full-timers who... in the summer internship, the interns will go to the coordination meeting with the full-timers. But then also during the end of the semester last year, we had, when school got less busy, we also joined the coordination meetings every now and then. And so we're all very much involved with each other's lives. No one, like, does anything on his own, really. So that's really healthy. That helps.
I just wanted to share one more experience about... I just wanted to share one more experience. Acts 1:14, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the one that says, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. Amen. Amen. That's 1 Corinthians. Sorry, it's totally off. It's in the Bible, right? and so, you know, last year, I just, you know, we were tabling and we were handing out Bibles, and, you know, two Chinese scholars came up to me, and they had never heard this word before. And, you know, they started asking questions, and I just preached the gospel to them, not thinking much, you know. Jesus died for our sins, and so on and so forth. And you know, never, I forgot their faces. And they came, like, 2 weeks later to a Bible study. It's like, hey, you're the one who talked to me. I was like, I was? I had completely forgotten. But then Praise the Lord, Josh Huang started coming to our campus, and he called up all the Chinese scholars, and he started meeting with them. And so, you know, these two, you know, kept coming back. They were just, they were so attracted. And so we realized, you know, they're ready. And so we started praying for them. And they even came to one of our road trips, you know, our bro trips, right? To Texas. We went to Texas, and we just prayed that on this trip, they would just get baptized. Amen. And they were. Praise the Lord. And so it's, you know, the labor isn't individually. It's definitely a body matter. You know, there are those actively out on the field. There are those praying. And so it all comes together. And, you know, they've just been, you know, wonderful remaining fruit. And I remember talking to one. His testimony is just, I love the Lord Jesus. Yeah. It was so powerful. Anyway.
Sorry. I was just thinking, individually, we can enjoy the Lord. But when I realized, like, I don't know if you've listened to the Austin Reunion, but when you are fruit-bearing, your joy will be made full. And so throughout the year, I was enjoying the Lord, both, you know, with the saints and with on my own. But when we started taking care of other students, you know, coordinating with the other members, I realized, you know, I have a function too, and that's to help bear fruit. So every person is important in fruit bearing for the church.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's read the focus again. The students must be blended together through prayer and fellowship to become a nucleus taking the lead on their campus in close coordination with the church. So I think just from the fellowship of these four students, you could get a sense that this is happening. And it's something that's gradually built up over time. And the students in the church here are very much learning how to do this. Every year, we look back and with the year, and you know, what have we learned? What should we do differently? And some things we learn by, you know, I'll just have to say, just like the brothers in Austin say, we learn by accident, by mistake. Some of it is very much the Lord speaking and the leading in a certain direction. Some of the suggestions come from the students, some come from families, some come from the full-timers, but it's really a coordinated labor in the Lord together that's growing over a period of time. So the coordination, the student core is growing from, it used to be just really a small handful, 4 or 5, to over 20 now that are just in the core, together, pray together, pursue together, encourage one another together. So it's a gradual process, but it starts somewhere. So it starts with two or three. So it starts with two or three finding someone, an older saint that you can be shepherded by. So it's not the students by themselves, it's not the church by themselves, it's not the full-timers by themselves, but it's something that's gradually built up in a blended way over time. And the way this you know, goes on, like the brothers were sharing, is by prayer. And prayer, I like this verse in Daniel 11:32, but let the people who know their God show strength and take action. You know, it's the prayer that encourages us and strengthens us and supplies us. It even gives us the direction to take the action. Sometimes, you know, what do we do? How do we go? Well, it's through the prayer. A lot of times we'll be praying for someone and all of a sudden we'll pick up the burden for that person. So the prayer of the student nucleus, the prayer of the group together is such a key aspect of what the Lord is doing. Let's read point C together. Although our aim should be that people should be saved to become members of a nucleus, We should not be satisfied simply to bring people in our nucleus. We still must help them to grow. So this verse in Colossians, present every man full grown in Christ. So this is the goal. This is the goal, is to help bring them into the nucleus, help them to grow. We're not just for a great Christian group. You know, we're not for a good club. We're to bring them into the nucleus, help them to grow in Christ, that they could be members of the body. And two sisters, and this was mentioned, two sisters in the fall, last fall, got saved. By the end of the semester, they were in the nucleus. And by the end of the year, they were given a prophecy full in the celebration meeting, full of the word. And when someone asked, where'd they come from? Who are they? The person couldn't believe that they had just been saved about 9 months. Now we're given prophecies full of the word. But this comes from, you know, all just being involved with the students in the church life. But it's helping them grow and bringing them into the church life. Let's read D together. Those in the nucleus must know their purpose is not merely to bring people to the Lord, but also to collect materials for the building up of the church. So collect materials for the building up of the church. So that's really what the nucleus is doing. You know, it's helping to getting sinners saved is having, you know, the first message, love for people. So we need to have a love for people. We need to have companions. And we need to be a nucleus on campus. And all the fellowship we've had in the morning, our morning time of being quiet before the Lord, loving the Lord, having a clear conscience, having an exercised spirit, this is so the nucleus can function as a nucleus and bring ones into the church life. Okay, E. We must take the way of each campus having a group of students gathering consistently and praying thoroughly together. If we continue in these two steps, we will see results. Again, the last phrase. If we continue in these two steps, we will see results. This is where perseverance comes in. If we just take this way, we will see results. Gathering consistently, praying thoroughly. Gathering consistently, praying thoroughly. Gathering together and praying blends us together. It blends us together, brings us into the Lord's purpose. We will see results. But it takes perseverance. So that's the thing, really, how we want to encourage one another, is just to consistently come together, pray together. The Lord will bring results. Okay, let's read two together. The work on the campus must be built upon the right relationship with the body. Whatever you do should be done under the direction and fellowship of the church. Amen. So, and again, it's the students laboring together, being shepherded by the church. Let's read A. If there are any experienced brothers and sisters who can render students help, it is best if the students refer their activities to those experienced ones for help, fellowship, and coordination. By the way, I want to define the word coordination. Coordination is an event in the spirit. Amen. Let's all say that together. Coordination is an event in the spirit. Again, coordination is an event in the spirit. Coordination is not a planning session. Now, planning might occur during coordination, but coordination is not a planning session. Coordination is an event in the spirit. So that's why we pray it. We pray. We exercise our spirit, fan another spirit into flame. Then the fellowship and the planning that does occur, because that has to occur, will be an event in the spirit. And the Lord's direction will be there. And it will be a coordination. Sometimes the students are coordinate together just as the students. Sometimes the students and the full-time team will coordinate in fellowship and have some prayer and consideration together. Sometimes the students will have a burden and will fellowship. Yeah, we can do that. That's great. Sometimes the the team has a burden in fellowship with the students may say, that won't work. That happens. The students need to have the boldness to say, that won't work. We just say, amen, it won't work. Okay, we won't do it. Then we need to have this freedom to fellowship back and forth with one another. And one of the best, one very key idea that enables us to function in the time in the summer, the freshman orientation time, the idea came from a student. Because this campus here, please shut those doors. Actually, this it's okay. But the campus here, there's a particular rule that says this clubs cannot approach anybody clubs cannot be on the campus during the summer. And that just can't be on campus during the summer. That's the rule. And we follow that rule. Very, very carefully. There's a particular space outside the bookstore that's on public property. And one of the students said, well, all the freshmen have to go by this place because they have to go to this bookstore to get their I-cards. And so we just put up a big display and identify who we are, and we just meet the students. And one time someone complained about it, and the city came out, and we talked with the city, and the city said, you're not soliciting, it's okay. And someone talked to the person in the bookstore, he said, I really like what you're doing. So we pray much for that spot. but the point I'm really making out of this is that the idea came from a student. The student who knew the way the situation was on the campus and came up with this idea. And it could not have come from a serving one. The serving ones didn't know the situation. So it's really a real coordination back and forth. And let's read B. If we are right with the church, we will bear fruit with a life that is for the body and spontaneously impress others that we are members of the body. Okay, we will bear fruit. If we're right with the church, right with one another, we will bear fruit. We will bear fruit because the Lord will put that burden in our heart for the ones around us. And again, I think one of the earlier sessions pointed out that as students, this is a golden opportunity. You'll never again be an undergraduate in your teens on a campus. I mean, this is the only time in your life. You know, you may become an undergraduate and later in life and go take another course, another undergraduate study somewhere else, but you will not be in your teens. You'll be older. So this is a unique time, in your life. And the Lord in his sovereignty, has gathered all the fish together. When the Lord went fishing, he found the teenagers and the ones in the very early 20s fishing on the University of the Sea of Galilee. Well, today the Lord has sovereignly put all the young people on the campuses where they could be touched by the gospel. And if you're many times we've seen this, and there've been many studies done, the vast majority of people are saved in their teenage years. I was saved at 19. My wife was saved at 19. So the Lord was, no, it was 17. 16, 18? 18. 18. But the point is, this is the time when people are open. This is the time when people are hungry for the Lord. This is the time to preach the gospel. This is the time to be burdened for your classmates. This is the time to be burdened for those, your lab mates, those that you run into on the quad. The football player that was, you know, that someone talked to this morning. This is the time, Lord, burden me. So it's in the prayer together as a nucleus, the Lord fires up that burden. He stokes the flame. He fans that flame. So really, this is the time. So see, we must learn to impart life to others with the support of the body. It will spontaneously bring them to the body. So impart life to others, and that life will draw them to the body. So again, fan one another into flame, pray together, be consistent, and be in the Word, and the Lord will bless. The Lord will bear fruit through the students, through the church. Amen. So let's pray two by two for a moment, and then we'll have some prophesying.